So this is the first episode of Why We Can't Have Nice Things. I apologize in advance. I'm doing this through my headphones and my phone, but I'm using Anchor, so we'll see how it goes. I'm really excited to start this and kind of share one of my favorite topics with you, that being bioethics. So let's get started. My name is Ren Shepherd, and I'm going to tell you about the Tuskegee experiments. Quick disclaimer, listener discretion is advised. This is, again, human experimentation, and there is STDs involved. It's basically a syphilis study. So just a heads up about that. All right, so let's get started then. The sources I used for this was cdc.gov and history.com. So I just kind of pulled from both of those websites. So let's get started, right? Okay, so 1932, Mason County, Alabama. The Public Health Service was working with the Tuskegee Institute on the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male. Fun times. So actually at this time in 1932, there's no known treatment for syphilis. So that's kind of what this started as, was trying to find a treatment and whatnot, but then it quickly goes into the unethical territory. So initially this involved 600 black men, 399 had syphilis, and 201 did not. This was conducted without patients' informed consent, which is a major part of bioethics. And informed consent is basically you know beforehand what you're getting into, any potential risks, any surgeries that are going to happen, and it's all spelled out for you clearly so you can properly agree. So these guys did not have informed consent. In fact, they were told that they were being treated for, quote, bad blood, which is a local term for syphilis, anemia, and fatigue. So they didn't even know that they were getting treated for, I mean, syphilis in general. Back to it. I'm sorry, this is my first time, and I'm sitting in my closet. It's really hot. Okay, where was I? Bad blood. In fact, no treatment was actually given to any of these men. And in fact, they just did placebos because they were, instead of actually treating, they decided we'll just see what happens for raging syphilis. So yeah, they didn't get any treatment, and instead they got placebos, which was basically aspirin and mineral supplements. Like, if they had a headache, they were fine, but wasn't gonna help with the syphilis. In exchange for being studied, patients received free healthcare or free health checks, meals, and burial insurance. Was supposed to be 6 months, ended up being 40 years. That's a long time. And then in 1947, penicillin was discovered as a treatment. And this is 15 years? Yeah, this is 15 years after this study started. So for about 40 minus 15, that is 25. So yeah, about 25 years, there was treatment available, and these men did not receive it, which, and they didn't know beforehand, so here's the problem. So, yep, they were more interested in studying the disease's full progression, which pretty much resulted in blindness, insanity, and death. So I decided to kind of look up the various stages of syphilis, and I pulled that from the CDC website. They actually had a full article on the Tuskegee experiments. So that was cool. And then I went and got some more information for syphilis in case anyone did not know what all that entailed. So the primary stage, you have single or multiple sores, usually firm, round, and painless. And they can last 3 to 6 weeks before healing, even without treatment. So like it'll just be a sore and you're like, ah. And then that'll go away by itself. The secondary stage is skin rashes and or mucous membrane lesions. So your mucous membranes, if you don't know, is like the inside of your nose, inside of your mouth, your eyes, for women, it's like the vaginal canal, and for both men and women. Genetically, men and genetic male and females, it's also like the anus and stuff. So you'll have lesions in those areas. The rash doesn't usually itch, so you'll just have like a raised red bumpy area. Other symptoms may include fever, swollen lymph glands, sore throat, patchy hair loss, headaches, weight loss, muscle aches, and fatigue. And those can also go away without treatment. I mean, they're getting the aspirin for the headache, so I guess there's that. The latent stage, this is between the secondary stage and the tertiary stage. So this is where it kind of just calms down and is like in disease hibernation, which is common for a fair number of diseases. Like tuberculosis has a latent stage, cancer has a latent stage, all that fun stuff. So tertiary stage doesn't show up until about 10 to 30 years after infection. And this is the big thing. And then infection is it's a sexually transmitted illness, disease. So, it's either like sexually transmitted or babies can get it if the mother has it and they can get it during birth. So anyway, tertiary stage. So yeah, this damages internal organs and can result in death. So you've got neurosyphilis, which is severe headache, difficulty coordinating muscle movements, paralysis, numbness, and dementia. If you've heard of it, sometimes like Swiss cheese brain is associated with syphilis. That's what this is. It's like literally eating your brain. And then you can also get ocular syphilis, and that is changes in vision and possibly blindness. Whew. So in the mid-1960s, Peter Buxton, a PHS, public health? That might be a public health service. Yeah, public health service, venereal disease investigator in San Francisco. He found out about the study and expressed concerns to his superiors. The PHS officials reviewed the study and opted to continue, which is, like, not cool. Buxton leaked the story to a reporter friend who passed it on to another reporter, and this is Jean Heller of the Associated Press. So in 1972, a few years after he brought this up, Heller released the story about the study, and the Assistant Secretary for Health and Scientific Affairs appointed ad hoc advisory panel for review. So this is like just this, what am I looking for? This is like a spontaneous panel review thing. They just pulled people from it and it's like, hey, this is what you need to do right now. So this panel had 9 members from fields of medicine, law, religion, labor, education, health administration, and public affairs. They kind of found out that 28 people had died from syphilis, 100 had died from related complications, and at least 40 spouses diagnosed, and 19 children infected at birth. Panel concluded study was unethically justified, and very little knowledge was gained despite the risks to subjects. As if I remember correctly, the scientists who did the study didn't tell. Yeah, because they said they're just treating them for bad blood. So they didn't tell these people that they had syphilis. So then they would take it home and give it to their spouses, and who would in turn give it to the children at birth. So there's zero informed consent in this whole situation. But luckily, the study was ended a month later, after the panel concluded this. In 1973, class action lawsuit filed on behalf of subjects and families. So, and a year later, 1974, the lawsuit ended. This is kind of like the aftermath of everything. So there's $10 million settled. An out-of-court settlement was reached. The settlement included lifetime medical benefits and burial services to all living participants under the Tuskegee Health Benefit Program. So anyone who's still alive, basically, got more than just health checks. Like, they've got the full medical, they got full health benefits and burial services, which was nice, because as far as I know, funerals are expensive. And then another year goes by, 1975. Wives, widows, and offspring were added to that program. Oh, wait, hold up. So the lifetime medical benefits, and then in 1995, health benefits were added, and the CDC is now has responsibility of the program. So then in 2004, the last study participant died. So those who, of the original, what was it, 600? Yeah, the original 600 men, they died back in 2004. And then in 2009, the last widow died. And as of March of 2020, this year, there were still 11 offsprings receiving benefits. So it's really nice that they kept this going and everything. I don't know how that is after the pandemic. I hope there are still 11 offsprings receiving benefits. But yeah, so that is the Tuskegee experiments. I haven't quite figured out how I want to close this out yet, so we're just going to talk right now. I used Anchor for the recording, so I appreciate that app. And My name is Ren Shepherd, and this is why we can't have nice things.